He's a wonderful God. And he's done it again. Before we go any further, can we do this? I need you all today for me to do something. We're going to do it in a few minutes later on, but could you shake at least two hands and tell them, welcome to the presence of the Lord. Just tell them, welcome to the presence of the Lord, where there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Come on.
Forever and
let's give thanks to the Lord. Come on, tell him, give thanks to the Lord. Because he's a good God. Put those hands together, everybody. Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's a party. Why isn't it a party? Because we're already overcomers, and we should be celebrating. Father God, our hands are lifted high.
Hallelujah.
We bless your name. We're worshiping you. I can't hear nobody in this building. Make the devil know all the hell he put in your direction. You went to your weapons and opened your mouth. You begin to declare how good he is. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Honor, Father. We honor you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So patient.
So patient. I surrender. Everything, God, I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, God, I surrender all to you. Today, God, I withhold nothing. I withhold nothing. Singers singing with me in unison.
I surrender all to you.
Everything.
Hallelujah. This is a powerful song. I see many of you disconnected. If you need to sit, sit. You want to stand, stand. You want to kneel, kneel. But we have got to get this song. It can't be just, boy, the choir sounds good this morning. The worship team sounds good. This is you. So I don't know where your disconnect is, but reconnect right now. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I want this song to be my prayer. So right now, I tell my mind to be quiet. I arrest my flesh. And I surrender my entirety. Jesus, reveal to me those areas of my life that I need to surrender. That today, when I leave this place, I will not be the same. I refuse to allow this to be another Sunday. This is my day of freedom. This is my day of freedom. In Jesus' name. Come on, reconnect. Reconnect. Here you go. Sing it to Jesus.
I surrender all to you.
Everything.
Holding nothing.
Come and give you all.
I give.
Yeah.
want you more and more. We want you more and more. We want you more and more.
Shakes loose. This is the prayer. Life can go crazy. Chaos can come. But when this is your prayer, God always brings order out of chaos. The more we seek Him first, the more He reveals to us, even in the darkest of times, that there's always light. And the great part is that God always drives out darkness. So the more we lift Him up, the more we honor Him. You know, I was excited as we were singing a song, and one of the vantage points of being on the altar is the fact that you get to see everybody. Now, we do that for a reason. People say, Pastor, do you know who's not in church? I absolutely do. I look down and I see, if I send you a text message or an email that says, have I been missing you in church? You know, I already know I've been missing you in church. But we were singing that first song about His mercy endures forever. You know, last week we spoke about the Word of God. How God's Word, literally, not figuratively, is life to us. And we were singing that. And it was interesting, as I'm watching, many of you were completely disconnected to that song. But whether you realize or not, you were singing the Word. And you were activating seed in your life. Because the Word is seed. I don't know how many of you need mercy. How many of you need mercy? Oh, I got my hands full, so here we go. We all need mercy, amen? Every single one of us need mercy. I love that whole chapter, Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. The whole chapter, 26 verses. His mercy endures forever. You see, you can sing that song, but when you allow the Word to get on your good ground, it changes everything. And then when we sing this one, it shifts the whole ground into immediate fertilization. And what happens is, I believe in the principles of acceleration. See, when you plant a regular seed, it takes time to germinate and grow and mature. But I believe there are times in the Spirit, especially in the Holy Ghost, when God will start doing a work of acceleration. But that is when you and I have the ground prepared and ready, and this last song is more than just a song to you. Many of you wonder why you've planted and you've not seen a harvest. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that the seed doesn't work. But it's got to be good ground. And that's not determined by God. That's determined by us. And so right now, you can make a shift in your whole life. This could be my sermon today. You can make a shift in your whole life by making this more than a song. If this will be your words to God, your seed to God, you will have harvest of heaven's blessing. But if we sing the song and it's no more than dead air, dead words, no life, just what we call just a letter, then it becomes just another song at church. Boy, they sounded good today. They were really in tune. This has nothing to do with being in tune. This has to do with us being in tune. I know we sang it a few times, and I know there are guests in the room, and you're saying, my goodness, they sing those songs over and over and over and over and over again. Well, then get them, and we can stop. Because when we get them, the atmosphere changes. No, I'm not kidding. The atmosphere of expectancy brings forth miracles. No one needs to touch you for a miracle. See, there's a person in the room right now, and this is what I'm going to tell you. This is how it works. We're going to sing that song one more time. I'm going to tell you one miracle that's going to happen. The Lord already showed me. If somebody, you had a heart attack, and the left side of your heart has been damaged to the place of it's not beating properly. There's a deadness in there. And God, while you worship, no one's going to touch you. God's going to bring life back to that part of your heart. And the next time you go to the doctor, you're going to have God, you're going to have the doctor say, you know what? We probably need to do some more testings because something's off again. Your EKG is going to be all messed up all over again, but in a good way. Amen? Can we all sing that song? Maybe some of you need to come out of your chair. Maybe you're just hanging around somebody you shouldn't be hanging around. Maybe you need to move. Maybe go to the back of the sanctuary. Maybe find a wall. Some people need to stare at walls when they sing this song. Some people need to be on their knees. Some people need to be on their fannies. But no matter where you are, let's make this song not to the walls, not to the ceiling. Let's make it seed to heaven. Amen. Let's make this seed to heaven. Get your heart ready. Is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? I said, is your heart ready? Is your heart ready this morning for God to plant this in your life? Come on now. Abandon it all. Let's worship Him.
We want you. God, we want you.
Holy Spirit. This is not our service, this is yours. You do what you want. Change our lives. Change our lives. Change our lives. Bring us to a new place in you, God. Father, our passion is to know you. And this is eternal life, that you'll know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. Lord, we want to know you. God, the more we give up ourselves, Lord, the more we lay hold of you. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. See, today the issue is not whether the harvest is ready for you to participate with in heaven. The issue is, do you hunger and thirst? Father, I pray that you will increase our hunger and thirst for you. Jesus, that we'll abolish, Lord, and we'll come against and we'll stand against, Father, even those things of this world that so easily beset us. Lord, those sins, not only sins, God, but even the good things, because good doesn't always mean God. Lord, if there's anything in our lives, oh, get ready now. If there's anything in our lives that we're holding in front of you and above you, we ask that you eliminate it. Oh, Lord, I know not everybody wants to pray that prayer. But God, today, whether it be a man, whether it be a woman, whether it be a job, whether it be money, no matter what it is, Jesus, whatever is in front of you, we ask that you take it away. Lord, we might suffer loss for a period, but we'll have great gain eternal. Lord, if we're not smart enough to give it up, we ask that you take it away. That you will always be first in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell a few folks, hey, I'm so excited, I'm going to give my all to Christ. I'm not holding nothing back. He gets all of who I am. Come on, don't sit down. Make sure you find somebody. Don't sit down. We're a friendly church. Go find somebody you don't know. Come on, get out of your chair. Get out of your chair. Get out of your chair.
Fellowship, it's in the room. Open your hearts and let the Lord move. Fellowship, it's in the room. Open your heart and let the Lord move. Fellowship, it's in the room. Open your hearts and let the Lord move. Sing it with me. We fellowship, it's in the room. It's in the room. Open your hearts. Open your hearts and let the Lord move. We fellowship. We fellowship. It's in the room. It's in the room. Open your hearts. Open your hearts and let the Lord. We fellowship. We fellowship. It's in the room. It's in the room. Open your heart. Open your heart.
Let the Lord.
Oh, we fellowship.
We fellowship.
Where is it?
It's in the room.
Open your heart.
Open your heart and let the Lord.
One more time. We fellowship.
We fellowship.
It's in the room.
It's in the room.
Open your heart.
Why we do it?
I do it for the turn up.
You will tell you that the Father's love for you is unconditional. And we got love, and this is you, this is true. Firm.
What if we win 4,000 years? Not alone, not
alone.
What if we woke up in tomorrow? Everyone was gone. Tell me.
Uproar is this month, and we need your help. We've come up with a great idea to partner with the city to help clean up after the 4th of July. If each volunteer gets $100 worth of sponsors, we can meet our final goal of $10,000. Get your pledge sheet and sign up in the foyer today.
Praise thanks God for what he did. Let me show you the difference between praise and worship. The praiser thanking God for his shoes. The worshiper says, if I don't have no shoes, if I don't have no car, if I don't have any house, if I never get anything, I worship you for who you are. I worship you because you're God. You don't have to perform. You don't have to impress me. But just because you're God, you mean so much to me. I'll tear up my face and cry. I'll mess up my makeup and cry. I'll shake down my hair and cry. Oh, you're so valuable. Your presence is valuable. Your love is valuable. Your peace is valuable.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Great things are happening. We're excited because God's been doing and touching so many lives in this place. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, thank you so much for being a sower? Why is that? Because literally we are transforming. God is using us, this house, to transform the city. This last week, I believe for the last 2 weeks, we've been going down into the city Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, feeding, clothing, and praying. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in people's lives. Every single Wednesday and Thursday, and listen, if you say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, there's always something to do on Wednesday and Thursday. Put your hand to the plow, for goodness sakes. It's changing a generation. You know, many people say, well, you know, I go to church. I want to change a generation. I don't want to just go to church. Can I hear an amen? I want to be a generation changer. Can I hear an amen? I want God to use me. I want God to use you. You are here specifically because God's got a dynamic plan for your life. Turn to someone and say, you are not an accident. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, but if you're a first-time guest, I'd like you to slide your hand up. We have a gift for you. We want to bless you with a His Tabernacle mug and information about who we are, how to connect with us. If you're a first-time guest this morning, if you'll raise your hand up, we'd love to get you a packet to say thank you so much for being with us this morning. Is there any first-time guests in the house this morning? Oh, my goodness. I think we got to get busy. Amen? Turn to someone next to you and say, don't be a slow. If you came alone, you got to wonder why. How many of you invited at least 5 people to church this week? Oh, 1, 2, buckle my shoe. Anybody else invite 5 people to church this week? Your challenge is to invite 5 people to church next Sunday and pick one of them up on the way. Can I hear an amen? You might say, well, they won't get in the car. Hit them in the head. Put them in the trunk. When they wake up, they'll be in the presence of the Lord. They'll be happy, 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 happy. Amen? That's a terrible thought, you said? My wife said that's a terrible thought. We want to welcome all of our live streamers. Thank you so much for being on our online campus. People from all over the United States, all over the world are watching this morning. Can you give them a hand clap and say, welcome, family? They are our family, aren't they? You can't see them, but they're watching all over the place. They are our family. And I thank God for all the live streamers. Can I say this? All the live streamers that give your tithes and your offerings at this house, thank you so much, because this is your church, even though you might be abroad, that you can know that we are using the finances that you sow into the kingdom of God here rightfully and honorably and will always bring glory to God. It's soul winning. God always blesses a soul winning church. I said, God always blesses a soul-winning church. Amen. This is my dear wife. Her name is Pastor Rhonda Spencer. Isn't she beautiful? I did my first yard sale yesterday. It was an experience. Did my first yard sale yesterday. I made $75. Thank God for Michael Kimball. Hallelujah. Bought some stuff. But what was interesting is walking around, how many people came up to me and said, where's your beautiful wife, Rhonda? Which means they're watching the telecast. You'd be blown away how many people on a Sunday morning you and I are reaching every single Sunday morning all over this region, all the way to Alfred State, all the way to Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, all the way to Troy, Pennsylvania, all the way into Ithaca, almost all the way down into Binghamton. This telecast, our TV program every Sunday morning is reaching them. And I just want to say thank you so much, because one day we'll all stand before our righteous King. Can I hear an amen? And he'll say, what have you done? And some, you know, we all get to say we participated with sowing into the lives of thousands upon thousands and thousands of people. So thank you so very much. Here's my beautiful wife, Rhonda.
Amen. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, one of the questions that I don't think is ever asked out loud, but I'm pretty sure most people that attend have that question, is, why should I tithe? So let's talk about why we should tithe. First and foremost, it's because God tells us to. He says the tithe, 10% of our income, is holy. It's set apart. It is His. That is the first reason. Then we tithe because He promises to bless our 90% when we tithe. And that's a good reason to tithe, because I want my 90% blessed supernaturally. And then another reason why we tithe, Pastor already touched on it, is that so that our resources can be used to transform a community, to change lives, and to bring hope all over the world. Even on the telecast, hope is being offered every single Sunday to these people watching and tuning in. Hope is being generated in our communities when we go and feed them and clothe them and pray with them and encourage them and love on them. It is so much more than just food. The food is just the avenue that God uses. But your tithe, something that you couldn't do with just your amount of money, when it's added to the kingdom of God, it is able to transform communities and change communities. So why should we tithe? There are lots of reasons in the Word of God, and I encourage you today to be a tither in the house of God and watch eternal reward be put into your account. Watch your 90% become blessed, and watch your community be transformed by the power of your finances. So are you ready to give this morning? Let's stand to our feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible, the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. It starts out by saying, if I obey, repeat after me, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and honor God with your tithes and your offerings. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Right along with us.
God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. And God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Here we go, say,
our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is a holy God.
praise the Lord. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm excited about today. I have never preached this message in 29 years. And so I'm excited to be able to minister the Word of God to you. I like it when, you know, I've been in the Word a lot for a lot of years. And I love it when God just makes something you've read 10,000 times all fresh all over again. And this is the year of... I know I just switched gears on you. I said, this is the year of kingdom seed. We talked about seek ye first the, seek ye second the, no, don't seek ye second. Seek ye first the, not seek ye second the. You say, you weren't even going to move on that one, were you? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is where every one of us need to get back to the basics. And that is that Jesus must be number one in our lives. Can I hear an amen? We then talked about seed. We talked about how this is one of the main principles of God's kingdom and how everything runs within the seed. If you have a need, you've got to learn to see. And many of us, what we do is we look for the harvest when we're in need. And God is saying you can't have a harvest unless you first planted a... So if you don't have seeds in the ground, you can't have a... So when you get upset, you have problems in your life. You have trials and tribulations where you need finances. You need certain other things. If you've never planted a seed, why are you always going for a harvest? So this whole year, we've talked about time. We have 168 hours a week, and how we plant our time determines our destination. We also talked about our thoughts, how every thought, literally, not figuratively, and physiologically, every thought is a seed that goes in and plants a tree. It's called a thought tree. And every one of us are the compilation of the thought trees. This is medical terminology. Every one of us are the compilation of all the thought trees and the seeds that we have planted with our thoughts. We also talked about the Word of God. How the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is the seed. Jesus said, if you want to understand how the whole kingdom runs, understand this, that a man takes seed and scatters it. And then he goes to bed, and when he wakes up, there is the blade, there is the head, and then there is the fruit. And so it's time to understand everything about God's kingdom runs within the principles of a seed. So we live seed. Turn to someone and say, you live it. Come on, tell somebody, you live it whether you like it or not. And that is a fact. Every one of us are planting seeds every single day. Every one of us are planting seeds every single hour. And every one of us are already harvesting one of the plants and the seeds that we've already put in the ground. And that's why some of you don't like your life. You planted bad seed, and now you're wondering why you got a bad harvest. Harvest only comes positive when you plant the seeds of the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Today I want to start a series on the next one. Your words are seed. I want to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to be short today. I said I would never say that. I told the staff this week, forgive me, staff. I told my staff I would never say that again. Because it doesn't work. Did anybody see that thing on Facebook this week? It said the lies that pastors make. It was like, what's that buzzer thing? You know, the top 10 things? What game show is that? The top 10 things? Huh? Family Feud. And the question was, name the top 10 lies of a pastor. I'll be done in just a minute. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3, and it says this. You should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, I believe in the principles of prosperity. Well, I don't know if I like that prosperity gospel. Then you shouldn't like the gospel. Because the gospel from the end to the beginning always deals with prosperity. God's plan is not death. God's plan is life. God's plan is not decrease. God's plan is always increase. So it's time to lay hold of that God's desire for you is not destruction, but God's desire for you is blessing. Turn to somebody and say, I am blessed. Now I want to talk about the principles of the firsts. Now, I love this principle called the firsts, Because there are things that have happened firsts in the Bible, or things that happened first in the Bible, that we've got to lay hold of and pay attention to. Because of that, God has laid for us basic principles of the firsts. And today I want to deal with, as we're talking about, your words are seed. I want to show you through God's word the firsts when it came to being spoken in words. Now, many of us don't understand that our words are life and death. Many of us just get up and we spew whatever's out in our mouths. We say whatever we desire. And I want you to recognize that you're going to constantly plant bad seed. You've heard somebody say before, well, you know, I just say it the way it is. You don't like it? That's your problem. No, that's your problem. Because dishonor always brings the lack of access. When you do not honor with your words, you always disconnect yourself from blessing. Blessing only comes through honor. And honor comes through understanding the word of God. For God's words, God's principles, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and the Constitution is above this world's constitution. God said, the words that I speak are yea and amen. That means not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to completion. We are not talking about the Bible in the essence of my religious book. We're talking about the words that came from God himself. The one who said, let there be, and there was. He spoke these words, and when God said it, it don't matter whether you like it, don't matter whether you believe it, it don't matter whether it fits your fancy. What matters is it is truth. For Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. You see, truth will make you free. The principles of first, we know it. Seek ye, seek ye, seek ye. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We then know another first that's seen right in the book of Genesis within the first 10 verses, and that is the principle of the seed. Everything that God has made, he has made by a seed. In fact, even God himself lived by the principles that he set in order, because when he created the Garden of Eden, he didn't go, let there be a garden. He planted the garden. God used the very principles that he set in order, even for the Garden of Eden to be created. You see, God lives by these principles. And this is the next one. Are you ready? Words plant seed for harvest. And I want to show you this morning. You see, when words are spoken, they literally go beyond just the natural capability of just hitting the air. The scientific studies say your words never stop. When they're spoken, they're constant. They're never ceasing. They don't go into the density of the wall and get absorbed. You might not no longer be able to hear them, but your words are perpetual for all of eternity. That's why Jesus said to us, as believers, when we stand before the bema seat of Christ, we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we'll be judged for our words and our works. Because the words that we speak, they are eternal and they have value and they build or destroy. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. You see, words are far more than just things that we speak out loud. Far more than just thoughts I gotta stop, I can't say that. That just come out of our mouths. They are literal and they transform or destroy. And so we sit here as believers many times, unbelieving. We sit here as Christians, quote unquote, and say we believe the word of God, but yet we live our own lives. We do what we want, how we want, when we want, and then we expect God to respond to us how we desire God to respond. Last I knew, God's not the candy man. Can I hear an amen? He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. There is none like him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And his word is from everlasting to everlasting, and it changes not. So you see, when we grasp a hold of the power of God's word, the power of our words, then we step into a different zone. We become different people. We become more godlike. How many of you want to become more godlike? See, that's the goal here. The goal here is not, well, you know, I just want to get to heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Well, what if you don't have hair on your chin? You're in big trouble. This is not about just barely getting to heaven. This is about you and I being more than conquerors on this planet, not survivors. I hate and despise the mentality of the body of Christ who live in the mindset that we are just surviving. Oh, Jesus, please blow the trumpet quickly before we all die. I want you to know that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not defeated. I'm more than a conqueror. That means Christ has already accomplished it. And now I get to enjoy what he already bought. You see, we got to get out of the mentality of Christianity and get into the Word of God that transforms our lives. And if we don't, then we'll live in a mindset that will destroy us, because God is not governed by a church. God is not governed by a religion. God is not governed by your philosophical ideas. God is governed by the Word. You see, God in the firsts began to speak. Now, we could have created in so many diverse different manners. He could have just simply swiped his hand. Can I hear an amen? But he did something to show us something. The Bible says that you and I have been created in his image and in his likeness. We are the only creation on this planet that has the capability of speaking the way we do. We are not an animal. Turn to someone and say, I am not an animal. Well, there's a philosophical idea is that we are just another animal on this planet. I'm sorry, you might be an animal. I should say you might act like an animal. But you are not an animal. You've been created in the image of God. And in that means the very seed of heaven is waiting to explode to make you a child of the King. And if you're a child of the King, to draw you closer to the King. And if you're closer to the King, to start living like the King, because your old nature is gone and God's nature is now put within you. The moment you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, this is a different mentality than church. This is the mentality of heaven. God didn't think creation. He spoke creation. He spoke the word to show us the seeds of our words. You see, because Adam, being created in his image and likeness, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we then get to see how the very mindset of heaven actually works. You see, that's one thing that's so imperative for the body of Christ, because so many of us have lived in church world so long that we forget how God works. When we forget how God works, then we try to get God to do it our way. God will never do it your way. He is still the King. We must go according to his word, his principles, and that's the only way to succeed. That's a very weak amen. Say amen again. So your words will always produce harvest, because God taught us this first in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, God said. Genesis 1 verse 9, God said. Genesis 1 verse 11, God said. Genesis 1 verse 14, God said. Genesis 1 verse 20, God said. Genesis 1 verse 26, God said. Oh, I love that. Genesis 1 verse 29, God said. I want to let this sit. Because until we get this, we will never recognize how powerful the words are that come out of our mouth. You actually are who you are because of the words that come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. See, and this is why last week I pushed you. I tried to drive you to the place of being more in the Word this week. And I got to ask you a simple question that you don't need to answer out loud. How many of you were in the Word more this week than the week before? And if the answer is I did not accelerate the Word in my life, then you're ultimately saying, I don't really care what God's Word says. I don't really care what God's kingdom is. I don't really care what God desires. I'm going to do it my way. It's time to shake yourself. It's time to arrest yourself. It's time to align yourself. It's time to rise up and start getting a hold of God's word all over again. Because when you're not in the word of God, then the only concepts that will rule in your life is flesh. Flesh, Romans chapter 8, is the enemy of God. There's a way that seems right to man that leads to death. That's why so many believers are disenfranchised or disenfranchised themselves. Because they try Christianity and it doesn't work. But they've never tried kingdom. Because kingdom always works. Can I hear an amen? You see, whenever God spoke, action was immediately released. You might be saying this is simple. This is not simple if you get this. When God said, "Let there be," and there was, the words went into eternity. The words created. The words brought from unseen to seen. The words that God spoke made something that was not alive and visible and touchable and transitional. When God spoke, it literally made something that was not to the natural eye become something that you and I could walk on. Words, especially spoken God's words, will always tap heaven and bring what you're believing for to earth. That's why the devil does not want you in the Word of God. That's why the devil doesn't want you. That's why your flesh does not want you studying the Scriptures. That's why the flesh wants you to miss week after week. That's why the flesh desires you not to go to rock solid faith. That's why the flesh desires you. That's why the demonic desires you to be one that is disconnected. Why? It's not just a thing that you feel. I just feel this way. Who cares how you feel? We walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by the Word and not by my circumstances. I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I will not be distracted. I will not be disturbed. I'm moving forward in God. Backward is not an option. I can't hear you this morning. You see, when we grasp that when God spoke, action was released. Faith without works is dead. If God said, "Let there be light," and there was no light, then we know that God is powerless, not powerful. Then we know that words have no essence or meaning. But because God did a first, he showed us in his word a first. He said, "This is how my kingdom runs. This is how it all is activated. This is how I move. This is how you bring the supernatural to the natural. This is how what you desire on earth can be manifested and brought forth so you can have it, bringing it into the tangible realm so that you have what you need." God said, and it happened. You know what I love about God and in his saying too, which is so powerful because we can see this in the Word of God so clearly and understandably, is that God not only said, he not only called it to being, but then he blessed it. Ever been around somebody who's not a blesser? Boy, it's a beautiful day out, but I'm sure the sun will give me a burn. Boy, your shoes are beautiful. Yeah, but if you were in them. Man, your wife is beautiful. Yeah, but you don't live with her. It's so good to see you in church. Is he gonna preach long again? You've been around those people. But I want you to see the nature of your Father, the nature of who you are. If you're born again, shout, "I am." That means that God has put a new nature inside of you. He said he took the old nature out, the nature of the disobedient, the nature of death, the nature of your father that is on this earth, and the spirit of disobedience, and he put within you a new nature. What's the nature? He said, "I reestablished, I reinformed, I am teaching you the nature that I have inside of you," and that is that you are a believer. Everything you need for success on this earth is available for you. I'm going to give it to you and give you the new nature. I love what the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very personality of the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You see, the people that are the cursors don't have the nature of their Father. That's why you listen to somebody long enough, you actually get to know what they actually believe. You let somebody talk long enough, their spoken words decree what their faith level actually is. And it's amazing because there is, how many of you know that heaven is immense? One. Can I have two? Two. Five. Heaven is immense. There is nothing that heaven cannot do. Immense. I'm sorry, I talked, I know the word. I said it in Boston. That's New England. You see, when you really recognize that heaven has no holds barred, and that you and I have the capability of calling those things which are not as though they already are, you and I actually have the capability of making something happen that is not evident on this planet by using the very principles of God himself, the firsts that he set in order, and recognizing that God is not out to curse you, but that God is out to bless you. I love the fact that he not only said, he not only called, but then he did this. In verse 22 of chapter 1, he said, and God blessed them. Verse 28, then God blessed them. God is a blesser and not a curser. Some of us got God in our mind as some big old oaf with a hammer waiting to bash our brains in. Or he can't wait and he's going to laugh the day that you get cast into the lake of fire if you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that God is not for your bad experiences. God wants greatness for your life. So why are some living in greatness and some we're living in great despair? That has nothing to do with your economical status. That has to do with your heart, because when you learn that wealth and prosperity have nothing to do with what you have, it is all how you think. For as a man thinks, so he is. As a man is, so he speaks. Well, my marriage is going to hell. And it will. Well, my wife, my husband. You've just cursed them. You wonder why your marriage isn't increasing, yet you tell them everything that's wrong with them. Anybody not have a problem in your marriage? Please stand up. I'm giving you the pulpit. Every marriage has problems because we're married to people. How many of you are people in this room? Thank you. Case rests. Watch. Not only did God have a first, but Adam had a first. The first words that were spoken out of Adam's mouth, I love. Now, these are the words that are first recorded in the scripture. I don't know if they're the very first words that he ever spoke, but in the Word of God, this is a first. And God created not just male, but he created a female. If you're a male, say, thank God for ladies. That really wasn't good. Okay, men, say, thank God for ladies. I lived in a dorm. I thank God for a woman. Dorms are tough. The very first words literally resounded from the first words from God. See, this is what happens. The closer you are to Christ, you don't even have to try. It's just by nature you talk the way God talks. Come on now. Let me say it one more time. God didn't have to sit Adam down and preach a sermon. Ha! Adam, I declare to thee that thy words, when thou speaketh them, thou shalt be blessed and not cursing. By the way, God doesn't speak King James anyways. Adam ought to automatically started working in the nature of God, his Father. He automatically, the very first words that Adam spoke that were recorded in the scripture were this. Are you ready? I love this. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 23. And it goes like this. And blessed, where are we? Verse 23. There we go. No, it's chapter 2, verse 23. Chapter 3, verse 23. No, I'm just kidding. Chapter 2. Here we go. And Adam said, everybody shout, Adam said. This is what he said. He said this over his lady. Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. See, Adam was happy that he had the lady. The very first words out of his mouth were that of happiness and joy and thankfulness and declaration of who his wife was in his life. The very nature of his father automatically oozed out of him. It's not something they had to prime up. Do you know the more you're in the presence of God and the more in his word, people will see the transition even before you do. They'll see the transition because they'll automatically see the nature of the Father coming out of your mouth. For our tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. We will automatically be a blesser. We will automatically speak life. We will automatically, even in trial and tribulation, speak faith rather than doubt. I got to continue. Here we go. The next verse when it comes to words is Satan. The enemy of your soul spoke words. He didn't just slither through the serpent through the Garden of Eden and think them telepathically. But the serpent at that point in time wasn't even crawling to the ground. He was walking on his feet. And he walked up to Eve, and this is what he said. And you see, when we get a hold of this, we can literally see the paradigms when it comes to the nature of the two. The nature of God and the nature of Satan. The nature of the king and the nature of the cast down. The nature of life and the nature of death. It all comes with the first words that are spoken. The first words, because Satan knew that he had to speak it to be able to get it into the natural realm from the spirit realm. This is what Satan said. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? What did Satan reflect on? What God's word already was established. Oh, please stay with me. The enemy of your life is always going to be questioning God said. The enemy of your life, the one who wants to bring death. We know the verse, John 10:10. For the devil's come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The very nature of Lucifer himself is so encapsulated just in that verse. And what is that? Is that Satan is always going to speak against life. What is life? The word is life. He's going to always take God's word and twist it. Is this why if you don't know the Bible, you're at a distinct disadvantage? When you don't know the scripture, you're in big trouble. Remember when Satan came and tempted Jesus in Luke chapter 4? What did the devil use? The devil used the twisted scripture. You see, the enemy of your soul, the first of the devil, is he always gets you to question whether God's word is true. Ooh, it's powerful. The moment the first of the devil can be activated in your life and you start questioning whether God's word is true, remember, faith produces actions, and what does doubt do? It steals all the blessing of heaven. Hebrews chapter 3 says the children of Israel could not go into the promised land because of unbelief. Jesus went to preach in his hometown and he could do no mighty miracles. Why? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief is always the opposite of faith. So the devil, the very first that he did,
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. The very clarity that the devil does is he comes in and he tries to bring doubt to your spirit, man, of what God's word says. Because if he can get you to doubt God's word, and then if he can get you to do what Eve did. Are you ready? She started a discourse with the devil. Did God say this? Said the serpent. Eve retorts. She comments back. What you entertain determines what you'll speak. If you entertain the word of God, you'll speak the word of God. If you entertain the diabolical, then you'll speak the diabolical. And you might be saying, well, I'm not a devil worshiper. But in a sense, we are. Because we believe the devil's word above God's word. This right here, honestly, will transform you. Our circumstances come in our lives. My goodness, the fruit looked good. There was nothing wrong with it. But God said, don't touch that tree. And the devil immediately questioned what God said. Is that true? Is it actually true that you can't have that fruit? Is it actually true? Let me tell you. You see, God doesn't want you to be as wise as him. But you see, God doesn't want you to be as smart as him. Immediately, the enemy of your soul is going to get you to start questioning the word. That's a first. His tactics have never changed. Every answer we need is in the... What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. So when we take the seed and smash it with a hammer, will it produce fruit? So we remain in the position. We remain in the position where we are literally disconnecting God's word from our life. I'm going to end with this. You ready? Here it is. God spoke first and released blessing. His very nature is releasing words of blessing. Adam spoke his first words and they were blessing. He released the nature and the natural portion of his father into his wife. And then Satan spoke. And this is nature. Satan spoke through the serpent and his first words were the opposite of God's. Satan's words are always the opposite of God's. Because if he can get your words to disassemble God's word, then you can never have the harvest that you're believing for. You'll never have the prosperity that God has declared for your life. So the question is, how do you and what do you speak? God's word or the devil's word? I have a little homework for you and then I'm done. I want you to take the rest of the day, and if you're married, I want your spouse to help you. I'm not trying to cause conflict in the home, although that is going to happen. Please do not get angry and spout at your wife or your husband. Just say, blame Pastor Spencer. If you're not married, I want you to grab a person that you can trust. And for the rest of this day, I want you to evaluate the firsts of this day. What are the words that come out of your mouth? What are the words coming out of your mouth? Are they life or death? Now, I know there are times that you got to make corrections. I'm not saying that you can't make correction. God makes corrections in his scripture. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, so you can be angry and not sin with your words. But are you more of a blesser or more of a curser? Do you speak more of God's word or do you speak against God's word? All I know is this. The quicker we get this, the quicker we get more harvest. How many of you want more harvest in your life? Anybody who doesn't raise your hand, you're crazy.
I want more harvest. I want the seed of heaven to be planted in my life. I want the word of God to produce the most magnificent harvest. I want to say exactly what the words say. I am a tree that's planted by the water, whose leaf will never wither, and I will bring forth fruit in my season, and whatsoever I touch shall prosper. I declare, decree the word of God over my life, over my wife, over my children, over my grandchild, and soon, yes, and amen. I declare it in Jesus' name. And you know what that means? That means whether people like it or not, whether my children like it or not, I do that every morning. I speak blessing over my children, protection over my family. No devil in hell can harm them. No sickness has a right in their home. I declare it every single morning over my family. And even when I'm mad at my wife, I pray for my wife, which isn't always easy. Father, I thank you for my wife. I speak blessing over my wife. You got to learn. The quicker you do this, the quicker you'll have the results that you're after. Amen? I can't wait for next week. Hang on for the ride. Make sure you bring somebody because it's only going to get gooder. That's my word. I know it's going to go in the dictionary someday. But when it does, they better say my name beside it. Amen? I said amen. Turn to someone and say, I am a life giver. Me, a life giver, absolutely. Because when you speak life to somebody, it gives them life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been born again before, you've never confessed, spoken with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are not saved, which means you might believe in God, but you've never given your life to Christ. Your sins have never been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Today is your day. You see, when you speak the gospel, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So right now, literally, the word of heaven is penetrating your spirit. Literally, the word of God is transforming your spirit. Literally, the word of God is planting seed in your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the very best friend you're ever going to have. He will change you from the inside out. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to confess Christ as their Savior? 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, 1. We see a hand. Where are you? There you go. Thank you very much. You're very wise. I'm so proud of you. God's going to trans. Come on, give him a hand clap this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm getting ready to speak life over you. I want you to recognize that right next door, if you've never heard all the miracles that got you in the chair you're sitting in, we're going to be teaching the class. It takes about 20 minutes. Right on the other side is called Catch the Vision. You need to hear the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church. You need to know that you marry the vision and not the pastor. Can I hear an amen? Right on the other side of that wall, right after this service, make your way over there. I'll be teaching that class probably at 35. And so be ready. It's just so exciting to hear all the miracles that God has done. Are you ready? I'm going to release a blessing to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as words, as you spoke them, you spoke blessing over the children in the garden. I declare in Jesus' name, blessing in the same dimension. God, I thank you that we are blessed going in and blessed going out. Blessed in our storehouse, blessed in our basket. We cancel any attack of the enemy in our lives in the name of Jesus. We declare that no sickness has a right in our bodies. I curse disease right now in the name of Jesus. That's right, you've got to hear because the words are penetrating. They're words that are just overwhelming. Overwhelmingly saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I curse cancer in Jesus' name. I curse diabetes in Jesus' name. I curse all body sicknesses in Jesus' name. I curse all attacks even on the brain in the name of Jesus. And I command life to come right now. Father, let us be life to others this week as we share the kingdom, as we share Jesus, as we share the only way to heaven. God, let us not be ashamed as we're around our families this week. I pray, God, that we will not, Lord, we will not shame you by living like the world while we're around our family. It might be their last opportunity. God, give us wisdom how to share the gospel with our family and hold you to a level of integrity in our lives. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. And everybody said,
Amen. If I could have the prayer team come around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the young man that raised his hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Come on up here and meet me right here in the front. I want to pray with you. Come on, give him another hand clap as he comes this morning. Life will be transformed by Jesus' name. A soul comes into heaven. Serve God with all of your heart and live in the victory that Christ has paid for you.